Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home now on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. Ross, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I am not bad, guys. I'm losing my voice a little bit. I'm at the College Football Coaches Convention, but I'm ready to talk to you. I'm fired up. Big day. Good day for me to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. Browns have a new coach, Kevin Stefanski, officially introduced today. What's your thoughts on the hire?
Well, first of all, I like the process that the Browns went through. We've talked previously, kind of like the idea of a guy like Ron Rivera or Mike McCarthy for the job. But once that didn't happen, I like that they took their time with their process. I was once on the hiring committee at my alma mater, and the guy I was most excited about interviewing was probably the worst one we talked to. And a guy I had never heard of blew us away. So I like the fact that the Browns were able to take their time with this process. In particular, I know Kevin Stefanski for a long time. You know, I don't remember before game if he came up to me or I went up to him, but we started talking. I recognized the last name from his dad being the president for the Sixers, and then he let me know that he was a freshman at Penn when I was a senior at Princeton. So we talked almost every game I did then, Vikings game after that. He's very, very impressive, very personable, very smart. So I think he is exactly what everybody's looking for in a head coach these days. The way he carries himself, how smart he is, his background, all of those things. I think a fair critique would be that does his resume to this point really warrant this? You know, has he been a coordinator long enough? Has he had enough success? The only thing I would say about that is I just don't think that's as important as people think it is. I mean, Mike Vrabel was a D coordinator for the Texans for 1 year, and I think they were last in the NFL in defense that 1 year. The calling plays is not nearly as important as managing an organization, managing a group of people, delegating authority, you know, being a leader, all of those things. I think Vrabel's proving that right now. So Kevin has at least as much, if not more, experience than Vrabel did in the NFL and as a coordinator. So I think that mitigates that in my mind.
Do you think that Stefanski can get Baker Mayfield back on track?
I do. I think what he believes as a quarterback and a play caller fits into what I think Baker should be, which is a lot of boots, a lot of play action, a lot of, you know, getting him on the move, utilizing his legs a little bit. And, you know, he had success with Case Keenum, who's not a big quarterback, you know, another shorter guy. And obviously Kirk Cousins played very well this year. So I think he's got a pretty good track record of success as both a position coach and a coordinator. So, yeah, I mean, that's obviously his biggest job. And I think that the Browns realize that as well. They were sold on his ability to do that. I think that they liked, you know, how smart he is, how he conducts himself, but also his track record with quarterbacks.
Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports, former NFL offensive lineman. Ross, we're so scarred at this point from all the coaching hires that I'm not, you know, I don't care about winning press conferences and any of that stuff. I want to give him a fair shot. I hope he does a good job, but I'll believe he's a good coach when I see the proof on the field. But I do think it was a positive today that he kind of talked about, you know, putting in the work to get better, and Baker's got to improve. Because I feel like this organization has kissed his butt and enabled him for 2 years, and I think it's worked against him. What say you on that?
Yeah, you know, that's a delicate situation for a guy like Stefanski, because he is young. He is a first-time head coach. So that would have been, you know, I kind of put myself in his shoes and how I would have handled that. because, you know how important that relationship is.
Yeah.
And you want to get off to a right start. And I thought he handled it pretty well. You know, if Baker doesn't think he needs to get better, then Baker's the problem.
Yes.
Right? I mean, every great player I ever played with or against, you know, Ray Lewis or playing with Brady, Brady still thinks he needs to get better. So if, you know, Stefanski saying that would bother Baker Mayfield, then Baker's attitude is the problem. I'll be curious to see whether or not, you know, I'm very curious to see what his staff is, and I'll be curious if he can get Baker to not only play better on the field, but to understand the impact of some of the things he says and does off the field.
Ross, what do you think about Andrew Berry? I know you're a Philly guy. Maybe you've had some interactions with him there in Philadelphia. You think it's a good move for him to come back to Cleveland?
Well, I hate him because he went to Harvard and his twin brother went to Princeton.
Yeah.
And he was way, way better than his twin brother. His twin brother played receiver and was like, okay. Andrew was three-time first-team All-Ivy League. So I bust his chops for that. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about him. You know, I mean, he's a guy, double majored. I didn't even know people did that at Ivy League school. He double majored. He's also very bright. You know, he's one of those guys that could easily be making a lot of money in finance or doing any of that, but he loves football. Everybody, when he was in Indianapolis, said great things about him. He was kind of a rising star. Then he went to Cleveland, and everybody said that the first time. Obviously, the Eagles have a pretty good track record of success in terms of hiring people for positions. And so just the fact that they scooped him up right away tells you how they felt about him. And he was, I know, very well regarded in their organization. So, and I don't know what his ties are with Stefanski or whatever, other than just the Ivy League thing, but he's very impressive. You know, I talked to him during their preseason games this year, talked to him a few times. He is very impressive and has a really good holistic approach to the whole organization. I mean, listen, it might just be on paper, guys, but if I ran an NFL team, you could do worse than the resumes, background, track record, and how they are in person than Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. I mean, they look awesome on paper. When you talk to them, they talk awesome. Their track record's really good. I mean, you know, they would get hired. You know, if you brought in the best hedge fund guys, the best whatever, these are the two guys they would hire. That doesn't mean they're going to be awesome for Cleveland. That doesn't mean you guys are going to win the Super Bowl next year. But, man, they've got real good resumes. And not just that, they're football guys. And when you talk to them, they're very impressive in addition to, you know, their education and how they've worked their way up through the ranks.
Ross, you know, obviously as players, we kind of take on the identity of our coaches to some degree. And I think Stefanski will do some of that, maybe with Zimmer. And I also know his coach in college is Al Bagnoli, who's a hell of a coach. What was he like? I'm sure you've had interactions with him, Bagnoli.
Al Bagnoli?
Yeah.
He's a tough dude.
Okay.
He's a pretty tough, hard-nosed guy. So for Stefanski, it's interesting because, you know, all I really know of him are our conversations before games, right? Very personable, very good-looking guy, very bright, all those things. So I don't know what he's like, you know, behind closed doors. But it is interesting to think, now that you bring that up, Dustin, that he had Al Bagnoli, yeah, and he had Zimmer, who, you know, Zimmer was one of my coaches in Dallas, and we know the way Zimmer is. So I don't picture Stefanski being a hard ass like those guys, but at least he knows the impact of that and knows of that as one of his tools. I don't see him being that way, but I don't know. He never coached me, you know, but for all I know, maybe he's dog cussing guys in the meeting. I don't think so, though. I think it's kind of what he talked about. I think it's kind of the servant leader and just being like, listen, my job is to get the most out of you guys. I just think he'll be honest with the guys and they'll really appreciate that. I also like what he said about the respect he has for what guys go through, because I can remember talking about it like, some game Kyle Rudolph was playing, his ankle was so bad. And he's like, man, I don't know. I don't know how he does it. It's unbelievable. It's just, he gets it.
We're talking with Ross Tucker, radio.com sports. Ross, I don't know if you heard any of this, but Paul DePodesta spoke today for the first time. Did you hear it at all?
I didn't hear Paul. I've been busy. I have been going through Twitter to see some of the things he said.
Yeah, I want to play a clip for you because this clip made Dustin a little nervous. This was DePodesta talking about his role in terms of other things, including the draft. Here we go.
I've had the opportunity to be around some great organizations, you know, in multiple sports. And one thing that's pretty clear across all of them is that they all have an identity, right? A way. You hear about, you know, the Patriot way, or, you know, back in the day, the Dodger way, or whatever it might be. You know, the teams that are great are relentless about implementing that way. And that's what we need to do here. And I think that's really my charge. So my charge is not to watch tape and say, oh man, this guy's got great feet. We've got scouts who are way better and way more qualified than I am to do that. But when we come down to make a selection, it is my role to say, okay, are we making a decision here that actually aligns with our way? And does it make sense?
So Dustin kind of took that as Paul DePodesta having the final say on the picks. Do you see it that way?
I don't know that I'd go that far, but it sure sounds like he's got a say. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's got a say. And my point to that would be, how could he not? I mean, he's the one that's evidently doing the hiring
Ross, not to cut you off, but there was another clip that he said 3 years ago he knew nothing about the NFL. That alarms me, because now if he has all this power and say, I mean, how much can you learn about the league in 3 years to now have this much power? It's a little alarming to me.
Yep, I see that. I guess I almost look at it the other way. I'm a big fan of people that are willing to admit what they don't know. You know, most people Agreed. Would never say 3 years ago, I didn't know anything about the NFL. And hearing the clip that we just played, it sounds like he knows what he doesn't know. And what he's trying to do is almost build like an employee handbook, if you will, of what they want the Browns organization to be, and make sure that whoever the GM is, you know, Stefanski, Haslam, make sure everybody's on the same page about what they're looking for in a Cleveland Brown player. And then when they're about to make that selection or free agent signing and say, hey guys, let's go back to the handbook here. Let's go back to our guidelines. Does this guy fit what our vision is and what we wanted? Because he was talking about the Patriot way, the Dodger way. I think what he is looking at is almost being checks and balances to make sure when they're going to do something, it's what they said they were going to do. Because I've seen the Browns a lot of times seemingly say they're going to do one thing and then do something different.
It's a great point, Ross, because in the end, like, you got to give something a chance, right? So, okay, it seems like for the first time in the Jimmy Haslam era that Paul DePodesta, whoever they hire, whether it's Andrew Berry or the guy from Minnesota whose name is escaping me, and Stefanski, that these guys will all be aligned, right? They're all kind of on the same page. That's good. But ultimately, Jimmy sometimes will go with one plan and then he get talked out of it a week later. And that's the problem. Will Jimmy sabotage this again? No matter, like if you end up with Berry, DePodesta, and Stefanski, like, no team's got a smarter trio in those positions. It's impossible. And yet, and just because they're smart doesn't mean it's going to work or not work necessarily. But in the end, it might not even matter because Jimmy might overrule, or who knows what he'll do.
Well, and I will say this. You're exactly right. You know, and that's one of the things we never really know, is how much owner involvement there is. I think I tweeted this, quote tweeted Dustin's tweet about the Monday meeting with the coaches at Ross Tucker NFL. I know of at least one team that I played for that the head coach had to meet with the owner every Monday to go over, you know, the game. And what I really didn't like about that, I can live with that. But what I really didn't like about that is that some of the coaches on the staff told me that they'd be sitting there for 15, 25, 35, sometimes 45 minutes, an hour, waiting for the head coach for their staff meeting to move on to the next opponent, but he was still talking to the owner. So I'm okay with the owner wanting to know. I'm okay with the owner, you know, having a meeting. I mean, look, if I somehow made billions of dollars and bought a team, I probably want to talk to the coach after the game, not to grill him, not to be like, you should have done this, but just be like, all right, explain this to me. Why is this guy playing? Why is this not? I know they have a reason for it. I would just like to know. I kind of bought the team. I'm okay with that. And I would submit to you that I think there's a lot more owner involvement in the NFL than people realize. It just never sees the light of day. People just never find out about it. I'd love for Jimmy Haslam to give this trio 3 years to show what they can do. But based on his track record, how could you have any confidence that he's going to do that?
No, you can't. Unless, the only hope is if they have great success right away. That's the only hope. But we don't even know in that scenario because it's never happened.
You know, correct. So. And he doesn't. You know, I picture if I had a couple $1 billion that I get what I want when I want it, right? Like, get a private plane, right. I'm flying to the Bahamas. So it's probably tough to be patient, right? I mean, he doesn't have to be patient in any aspect of his life other than with the football team. So it's probably very difficult when he's used to throwing money, and that's a positive, throwing money or influence at something to get his desired result. Unfortunately, the NFL has not thus far worked out in that way for him.
Ross, we appreciate it, man. You made it through. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, dude.
All right, Ross Tucker.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.